And we will be jumping around a little bit this morning, I think. As this message transpires, it may change. One never knows. Been hard to kind of settle in exactly where I want to be with confidence. But I want to talk about being thankful and thinking about that and what it means. And when I conclude this morning, I think I'm going to come to a point where I want us to understand maybe what the opposite of being thankful is. You ever thought about that? Well, being unthankful. That's easy. but maybe from a little different perspective. I have went to some people in Scripture and tried to look at their lives in relationship to their attitude towards Thanksgiving. And it's revealing, yes, and I think it's pretty normal in many respects. One of the things that we find throughout time and history is that people, although things change around them and in their lives, people are still pretty much the same. And a lot of problems that exist in one way or another have always existed and always will, and how people deal with things are quite similar in how people approach things. And this area of Thanksgiving is something that I think it's really important. Sometimes I'm kind of a people watcher. I don't know that I like it anymore. I used to like it. But there's kind of almost a sensor inside of me that's been placed there somehow or another, that when I see somebody that could be thankful for something in their lives and they're not, that kind of bells go off. And I think, wow, man, why do we always have to, why do we go to the negative? Why don't we see the positive things that are happening within our lives? I was watching a newscast this week, and I seen that in a young lady and how horrible her life had been, and yeah, it had been, but there were some good things in her life too that were going on. And, you know, sometimes we don't stop and smell the carnations. I know they're not roses, and I thought they looked like carnations. We don't stop and smell the carnations. We don't stop and see things. So let me just talk about some people from Scripture, and we'll look at them. And the first one is Luke 18. We were read in 17, but I want to look at 18 as well, and we will eventually get back to 17. But there's a man in Luke chapter 18 that I want to call attention to. Let me start reading at verse 9. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves. Now, think about that a moment, in that statement that Jesus makes here. They trusted in themselves. Okay. That they were righteous, and they viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Okay, two people, Pharisee. I looked to try and define more what a Pharisee was. And we talk about Pharisees all the time. They're all through the Gospels. They're important people. They were religious people of Jesus' time who gave Jesus a really bad time, and they trusted in what they did more than anything else. They thought that they could be good enough to please God, and if anybody wasn't as good as they, as a Pharisee was, then they had problems. And they probably wouldn't ever make it to be with God, to heaven, quote unquote. These were people that put themselves up on a pedestal, so to speak, and thought they were the religious authority. And by the way, they were the conservatives of that day as well, which is interesting. But anyway, the Pharisee stood, verse 11, and prayed this to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I, on the other hand, fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. Let me stop a moment. Okay, I don't have to comment on this, but this is the attitude of this person. Put himself up on a pedestal and was just so thankful to God that he was as good as he was. Okay? 13, but the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. One of the things that I take from this particular lesson is that humility has a part in thanksgiving. Humility is something that most of us will struggle with in our lives, and maybe everybody. Pride is something that we struggle with, and it's so easy to become prideful in what we do, to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. When Jesus, the example, lowered himself and came obedient to the cross, he left aside his glory in heaven to become flesh and blood, to suffer unjustly. How many people in this world today are suffering unjustly? And you know what? They're telling us about it too, aren't they? They're talking about all the injustice that's been perpetrated against them. And Jesus, knowing full well what was happening, subjected himself to the cross and suffered a humiliating death for us by going to the cross and dying for our sins. We see a man in his pride who really didn't know what it was to truly be thankful. He thanked God that he wasn't like everybody else. Well, he was thankful. Okay. But was he? While the tax collector said, you know, I'm not even worthy. He wasn't even worthy to raise his eyes towards heaven. He talked about himself being unworthy. And in essence, even though it doesn't talk about him, I don't believe, being thankful, he was thankful that he had a God of mercy and grace that he could go to for the forgiveness of his sins. There's a couple other people in Acts that I want to call attention to. And I wondered about this and whether I should even bring them into this or not, but why not? Let's give it a short shot here. Ananias and Sapphira, chapter 5. Y'all know who Ananias and Sapphira were? They were a part of the early church. I mean, when I talk about the early church, I mean the early church, the very beginnings of the church in Jerusalem. And one of the customs, of course, of that time, and that particularly that time, was that they were gathering together and they were having things in commonality. They were sharing because life was not pretty for them. They, by declaring themselves to be followers of Jesus, were not popular. And so, by the course of living their lives, they were being hampered by probably lack of employment, by people not dealing with them, families disowning them, and financially not having the types of incomes that they had been used to. And so one of the things that they did, it says here, is that they sold stuff that they had and they shared it commonly. Ananias and Sapphira, and I'm not going to make a commentary on whether these were just fake believers or whether they were just mixed up believers and living a little bit of carnality. But they had a piece of land, and they sold that piece of land, and they said, we're going to give the proceeds of that sale to the church here at Jerusalem. We're going to share it with everybody. And of course, you know the story. The problem was that they sold a piece of land, they got a certain price, they gave a certain amount of money to the church, which wasn't the price that they got for the land. They gave less than what they got. Was that the problem? That was not the problem. The problem was they said, we're giving it all. They lied. And in this passage it says they lied to the Spirit of God. They didn't have to give it all. God, in a sense, God asks us to give it all. It's all His anyway, in a sense. But He allows us to take care of much of it. And what we give to Him, it's a decision that we make in our hearts. And hopefully we make that in prayerful consideration and understanding that it is God's and we're just stewards of it until He takes it all back again, maybe. I don't even know exactly how that all works. It's not going to be worth anything in eternity anyway. Won't need it. The idea here is that they said they gave it all, and they knowingly withheld some for themselves. They lied to the Spirit of God, and God struck them dead. We express our thanksgiving many times by what we give. And maybe they had too much. Sometimes the more that we have, the harder it is to be thankful. You know, did you hear, this is kind of off the story a little bit, but did you hear about the new museum opening in Washington, D.C.? The Bible Museum. Pretty amazing. $500 million? Is that the figure I think they had on that? Cost a lot of money. Huh? It
took many years.
It took a long time. The Greens, that are the head of Hobby Lobby, contributed tremendously, and there's a lot of kind of little scandalous things going on there because some of the artifacts that the Greens bought, they didn't know what they were doing. And they didn't go through the proper channels to get these artifacts from the Middle East. Iraq is one of the places, and they didn't do things maybe right, and they're in some trouble for doing that. But $500 million? That's a lot of money. Now, the Greens are supposedly a Christian family, and I take that at face value. That's what it's been said, and I have nothing to contradict that. But sometimes in life, when we have, the more we have, the less apt we are to be thankful. And Ananias and Sapphira, maybe they had too much. I don't know. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they just got caught up in the moment. Maybe they got a better price than what they thought they were going to get. And so, you know, the people only think we're going to give them this much, so let's just give them that much, you know. I don't know. But they lied to God, and being thankful is being honest with God as well. That's, again, a part of being thankful. Being honest with God from the very depths of our heart. Let's go back to Luke 17 now. And the situation we read about at the beginning of the service this morning, the lepers. You know the story. Jesus, and I was trying to get this all figured out exactly. And it's some things that I wasn't real sure of that I hadn't seen before, in at least such a way. Jesus was passing, and it was close to the Samaritan border, kind of between. And they went through a village, and there were these 10 lepers that cried out, to Jesus to help them. Master, help. They were lepers. Now, kind of probably some disagreement on what leprosy was. It was probably not what we know of leprosy today. I remember the first missionaries when I was a little kid that came to our church and talked about leprosy, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's horrible! You know, they talked about just eating away at the flesh and limbs falling off and all this and losing noses and ears and all that kind of stuff, and oh, that's horrible! This probably wasn't quite like that. It was some kind of a skin disease, but it was something that caused them to be quarantined. And the medical system of that day was kind of the priest, I guess. And they were not to be a part of everybody else. And they were put outside of the walls of the city, generally. Outside. And they lived together oftentimes because they were infected anyway. And these 10 cried out to Jesus. And Jesus says, go to the priest, show yourself, and you'll be made whole. And they started on their way, and as they started on their way, they noticed, hey, it's gone. We're good. One of the lepers, and this leper happened to be a Samaritan. Samaritans, it's kind of interesting that there was a Samaritan with probably what the rest were Jews. And it even interests me to think, well, why would the Samaritans, who believed just a little bit differently, they were part Jew, but they were in reality classified as Gentile, that even the Samaritan was started to go to the priest, and I'm not even sure why. But when the rest realized that they were healed, they continued on their way, but this Samaritan, a Gentile, turned around and went back to Jesus and thanked him. How often is it hard to put things in order of importance? Pretty important to go to the priest and be declared clean. You couldn't come back to the community. You couldn't come back to your family. You couldn't come back to your job or your occupation unless the priest declared you to be cured, to be clean from your disease of leprosy. You couldn't do it. So that's pretty important stuff, isn't it? But instead of this one continuing on his way to the priest, he went back to Jesus first. What was more important? How do you prioritize things in your life? You know, my wife says I would waste time, but I spend time trying to prioritize things in my life. And I do a really bad job of it. I really believe that many times. But I would like to seek to do what I should do first. And sometimes it's logical, sometimes it makes sense. Sometimes I just don't want to do something, so I prioritize it way down the line. I put it off. That's what I do. I put it off because I don't want to do it. And sometimes my prioritization isn't very good. Point being, in our lives, there are many times that we have to decide what's more important. I remember quite a few years ago, it would have been in the 90s, when my dad died, I think it was when Dad died, that David Bradley, the church got David Bradley to come preach for me that first Sunday afterwards so I wouldn't have to. And he talked about this very thing. What's really, really the most important? And sometimes we get so caught up in doing the important things, the good things of life, that we'll miss the most important things. Things that are even more important. And for this Samaritan, and I believe the story would bear this out, decided that for him, for right now, in this place and time in my life, the most important thing is to go back and thank Jesus. To go back and spend some time with him. And not get caught up in everything else. Did he have a family? I don't know. Maybe he didn't. But maybe he did. You know, can you imagine being separated from your family for an extended period of time because of this disease? And now you had a chance to get back to them and give your kids a hug, your wife a hug, and, you know, spend time with them and talk to them face to face. The only way they can converse with people with when they had leprosy was to shout at a distance. They couldn't get close to anybody. But instead, he went back to Jesus. You know, that's an amazing thing. And for most of us, most all of the time, maybe not all the time, there may be things that God says, this is what I want for you to do right now. For most of us, most of the time, to go to the Lord and just bow before him and thank him and praise him and give him the credit that's due to him. That is a lesson that I believe in the busyness of our lives and all of the things that are going on and all the things that we do, we need to come back to continually. What is most important? Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Lord, thank you. Praise you. Do you know what I came up with as a term that would be opposite of thanksgiving? You might boo me off the pulpit, I'm not sure. Think about it at least. Self-absorption. And there may be a better word than that. But you know what happens to many people? To us sometimes, we become so self-absorbed with our lives and what's going on in and around us that we miss the big picture. And we miss God and what God is doing in our lives. We become so focused upon ourselves, so self-absorbed. And when that happens, we'll never be thankful, I don't think. We need to take our eyes off ourselves and put it where it belongs, on our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. And there may have been some better ways to say some of these things, but Father, for you and who you are and what you've done in our lives, may we bow before you and may we thank you for all the things that you've done in our lives. We thank you for your mercy and your kindness, your patience, and all that revolves around that in each one of us, where we've been and what we've done. And while we continue to live our lives sometimes at such a fast pace, not stopping to bow before you and thank you. Father, may we do that, not just this week, but every day that we live. May we see things as we are. May we take our eyes off ourselves. May we see you. In Jesus' name, amen.